Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Dach, and I'm the founder and chair of Protect Our Care. And thank you for joining us for this important conversation. Before I turn the call over to our speakers, Leader Schumer, former HHS Secretary and Governor of Kansas, Kathleen Sebelius, and visiting lecturer in constitutional law at Yale Law School, Andy Pincus, I wanted to just give a minute of introduction. We founded Protect Our Care in 2017, and working with Senator Schumer, his colleagues in the Senate, other elected officials, and millions of grassroots advocates across the country, we defeated the Trump administration's effort to repeal the ACA in Congress. And then in 2018, working with tens of millions of voters across this country, we defeated ACA repeal at the ballot box. Unwilling to listen to the American people and unwilling to defeat the ACA in Congress or in an election, President Trump and a group of Republican attorney generals turned to the courts to terminate the Affordable Care Act. And they won victories at the trial court and the appeals court, despite the near unanimous view amongst legal scholars, including many who had earlier argued against the legality of the ACA themselves, that the case was wholly without merit. The Supreme Court is now considering the effort by President Trump and Republican attorney generals to completely overturn the Affordable Care Act. Today, Senate Democrats submit their brief opposing that lawsuit. And also today, AARP and over 20 patient groups, healthcare groups, doctor, hospital, and insurance groups, and a large number of states, counties, and cities will do the same. Oral argument is expected in the fall, possibly before the November election. Simply put, there has never been a worse time to rip apart America's healthcare. And yet, if this partisan and ideological effort is successful, 20 million more Americans will lose their health insurance. And that's on top of the 27 million Americans who have already lost their employer-based care. Just today, a new study from the Kaiser Family Foundation concluded that more than 20 million of those newly uninsured Americans are eligible to turn to coverage under the ACA and Medicaid to get through these difficult times. But if the Trump lawsuit is successful, 20 million of those Americans will no longer have access to the ACA subsidies or coverage under Medicaid expansion that they otherwise could turn to at these times. And that would mean a total of 40 million Americans who could lose access to affordable health care because of this lawsuit. And if that wasn't enough, this lawsuit would also gut protections for the 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions. And that, those numbers will grow as everyone who has had the coronavirus could be considered to have a pre-existing condition and therefore could be at the mercy of their insurance companies. And all this is only part of the carnage that President Trump wants to wreak upon this country through this lawsuit. With that, let me quickly introduce our first speaker. Leader Chuck Schumer has led Senate Democrats since 2017. America's lucky to have him in that role. He's been a champion for health care throughout his decades of service in the House and in the Senate. He led the fight to stop repeal of the ACA, had that dramatic success on the floor of the Senate in 2017. And he's been a tireless champion throughout his public service of the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid, and Medicare. I've had the privilege to work together with a leader and see his work, both in the last few years of the Obama administration and since the start of this administration's war on the Affordable Care Act. And there is no more person more committed, skillful, or tireless as an advocate for healthcare. Leader Schumer, thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to your remarks.
Thank you, Leslie, and I want to thank you and Protect Our Care for the great work you do. There is no organization that is so focused and so effective at preserving America's healthcare, expanding America's healthcare, and needed more than ever during these difficult times with an administration and a Republican Party that seems intent on taking away people's care. I want to thank our great both Governor and HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the amazing job she has done in just about every job she has had. And I want to thank Andy Pincus as well for joining us. Now, even before the pandemic began, we knew that the consequences of the Republicans' horrific lawsuit would be catastrophic were it to succeed. The state of our healthcare system, even before Corona, was really in desperate need of help. Premiums and out-of-pocket costs were already higher than they should have been. The uninsured rate was already climbing. All the result of relentless sabotage by the Trump administration and congressional Republicans. But now, of course, the situation's a whole lot worse. Thousands of Americans have lost their lives to coronavirus. Thousands more are battling the illness. Secretary Mnuchin said earlier this week that the unemployment rate is nearing 25%. Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that millions of Americans will be forced off their health insurance, and many could see coverage in the, through the ACA marketplace. So, this crisis shows, more than ever, Americans need the ACA. We all fought so hard a decade ago so that a family that loses employer-sponsored health care doesn't need to panic and can get coverage. And yet, in the middle of this public health and economic emergency, the Trump administration is dedicating time and resources to eliminating health care. They're in an alternative universe. Families are suffering. They're desperately worried of how they're going to get health care. If many of them have COVID, many more are worried about COVID, and many more are worried about other kinds of problems. And here is this administration spending time to eliminate health care and the pre-existing condition protections for millions of Americans, so vital to so many, 130 million. So those who already face barriers to coverage, pre-existing condition people, older Americans, would be particularly hard hit if Republicans got their way. That's why this week, every single Democrat signed on to an amicus brief that says, not only is the individual mandate absolutely constitutional, but the tearing down ACA would be catastrophic for millions and millions of Americans. Back in 2017, Congress failed to outright repeal the ACA. Why? The American people spoke up loudly and clearly that they believed in building up our health care system, not tearing it down. Unable to accept that, the Republicans do what they always do. They go to the courts to try and achieve their goal, wholesale destruction of our health care system. The Trump administration can't say they've got a handle on the coronavirus pandemic. They can't say they care about saving lives, while at the very same moment are trying to dismantle the country's health care system. They don't have a ground to stand on. The past couple of years have been a wholesale assault by the Trump administration on health care. The lawsuit shows, coronavirus or not, they don't plan to give up no matter what the cost. Senate Democrats are not giving up on this fight. With our amicus brief, we're calling on the highest court in the land to affirm the constitutionality of the ACA and to protect Americans' health care. And we have laid out in this brief the fact that the facts and law are on our side. There's no doubt the Supreme Court should rule. And two more comments. One, if you ever wanted to see the hypocrisy of the Republicans and how the coronavirus crisis has strengthened the need for health care, I wanted to give you a quote from John Cornyn, formerly the number two and still a member of the leadership team in the Republican Senate. He voted more than a dozen times to repeal the ACA. He's been one of the leaders in the Senate to dismantle it. Here's what he said on Monday. Quote, he said on Monday that the good news, that's his words, is that people can sign up for President Barack Obama's signature health care law if they've lost their job and need health insurance amid the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, here's his quote. The good news is that if you lose your employer-provided coverage, which covers about 180 million Americans, that's a significant life event, which makes you then eligible to sign up for the ACA. As you know, it has a sliding scale of subsidies up to 400%, so that's an option for people. Can you imagine one of the leading people who's trying to dismantle health care, now confronted with the crisis of corona, saying, here's good news, we have ACA. What hypocrisy. But it also shows you where the public is. John Cornyn's running for re-election, I imagine. You know, he knows that his efforts to repeal health care are not even popular in red, red Texas. And he has to say this. So if you ever wanted evidence that corona has strengthened people's desire for health care, despite what this Trump administration is trying to do, there it is. And the final point I'd make is this. Now, corona has, it's an awful and evil crisis. We all know people have passed away. My city and state are suffering dearly. But the silver lining, if there is one, is it shows a magnifying glass on the weaknesses, even with ACA, of our present health care, or I shouldn't say weaknesses, but the fact that we have to do more to improve our health care system in America and not rest on our laurels. And I think what will happen is the American people, as we move forward to try and strengthen health care, reduce health care costs, make it available for all Americans, coronavirus is actually going to be proof positive that we need to do that. Even John Cornyn seems to feel it. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Mr. Leader, and thanks for all you do every day and most of the night as well to not only keep us safe, but to do the right things for all of us and our families. Turning to our next speaker, Kathleen Sebelius is one of the reasons we have the Affordable Care Act. And as Secretary of Health and Human Services under President Obama, she was instrumental in the passage of the law, led its implementation, and really devised the underpinnings that have made it work so well. And in that job, she was also a leader in the fight against stopping global pandemics that threatened our people and did that so well. After leaving HHS, Kathleen has continued to speak up and speak out for affordable quality health care for all Americans and to put a lot of time in to personally engage in the fights we have needed to fight since President Trump took office. Her leadership has really been an inspiration to all of us who are on this battlefield together. We owe her a depth of gratitude for the time she's committed to this, the knowledge and strength she has brought to making America safer and healthier. Secretary Sebelius, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to your remarks.
Well, thank you, Leslie. I am delighted to join you and the incredible team at Protect Our Care who have been fighting the good fight and making sure that millions of Americans continue to enjoy the benefits of the Affordable Care Act along the way. So let me begin with a thank you and a shout out to the incredible work that you do. Leader Schumer, I am delighted to have an opportunity to be on the call with you. I just look forward to the time when we can make sure you are the leader in the Senate, not just the minority leader in the Senate, and hopefully that's right around the corner. But in the meantime, continue your great work, and I think the effort of senators, the Democratic senators, to stand up and speak out for this case and make sure that the American public is aware of what will happen if the case is successful is so very important. So thank you for what you're doing. And Annie Pincus, I know, will give us some key information on the litigation as it moves forward and what this case looks like. So thank you all for being on this call. I'll just be pretty brief because Leader Schumer did a good job of laying out the situation. There's no question that the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, which just had a 10-year anniversary, at any point is a bad idea. Taking away health care from millions of Americans is a bad idea. But in the midst of a health pandemic, it is a cruel, economically stupid, and dangerous idea. The stakes have just gotten significantly higher. So we know that havoc would be wreaked on lots of Americans who rely on either marketplace coverage or Medicaid coverage to have preventive care and get their health care on a regular basis. But dealing with a pandemic, dealing with a situation where we're trying to make sure people get tested and treated and have the confidence that they won't go bankrupt if they indeed seek medical care, to take away health care opportunities from people at that particular time is just makes no sense whatsoever. I want to focus for a minute on the Medicaid piece of the puzzle. This administration already turned down an opportunity to open up the marketplaces as millions of Americans become unemployed, to let people buy their own coverage. But as John Cornyn accurately said, while they won't promote it, it is part of the law. So it is a special circumstance. If you lose your health coverage, you can indeed go to the marketplace and apply for affordable care coverage. Medicaid is not so easy. If this lawsuit prevails, we will have virtually every state in the country except 14, which unfortunately still includes my home state of Kansas and John Cornyn's home state of Texas, which have not yet expanded Medicaid coverage. If the states lose that Medicaid coverage in the middle of this pandemic, a couple of things happen. First of all, states are in terrible financial situations anyway. Medicaid is the largest transfer of dollars from the federal government to the state government of any program that goes on. So not only will 13, 14 million people lose their Medicaid coverage at a time where they desperately need to take care of health care, but state budgets will be in much more difficult shape than they are right now. We know right now that every state in the country is gasping for air because they have just taken a serious financial hit. We know that hospital systems who deal with lower income patients are suffering greatly because they don't have the ability to withstand the lack of optional health services that have happened during this crisis. And again, losing Medicaid patients to walk in the door and be able to get their health care. We know people have put off preventive care during this period of time because they've been told, stay out of the hospital system, leave it for very seriously ill patients. And that demand is pent up. The worst of all worlds is for people to have put off cancer screenings and preventive care only to find out that at the end of this, they're going to lose their health care and not be able to take care of those needs altogether. So it's not just about the 20-some-odd million people who are impacted and affected. It is about state budgets that will be further in chaotic state, about hospital systems and healthcare providers who will lose their livelihoods because this is withdrawn. And it's about a system which is already shown not to be particularly effective for people, big gaps in our health coverage system anyway, and an administration, rather than doing the job they should be doing, making the American public safe and secure, filling in the gaps where people don't have coverage, are pursuing a lawsuit that already has been declared as ludicrous by many legal scholars and would wreak havoc on the lives of individuals. Just recently, the Kaiser Family Fund has said that about 80% of the people who lost their employment would be entitled either to subsidized health care in a marketplace or to Medicaid coverage. That will all go away if we don't prevail in this litigation. So I can't imagine a more urgent cause right now for our economy, for the lives and livelihoods of millions of citizens, and for the country moving forward. And I appreciate the opportunity to join you all in this call and would turn it over to Andy Pincus.
Thank you, Kathleen. And thank you for those remarks. It's all, you know, it's just treacherous ground we're on. Andy Pincus is a partner at Mayer Brown, a major global law firm, and a visiting lecturer in constitutional law at Yale Law School. He personally argued more than 30 cases, before the Supreme Court, and has long been involved in the legal strategy to protect the Affordable Care Act. All of us in the healthcare advocacy community rely on Andy's legal counsel to develop both our strategy and our policy solutions. He's truly an unsung healthcare hero. Andy, thanks for doing all you do and for joining us today.
Thanks, Leslie. It's great to work with you, and it's an honor to be here with Leader Schumer and Secretary Sebelius. Let me start with what's going on in the case today. Nearly three dozen amicus briefs will be filed today, and those briefs, together with the briefs that were filed last week by the House of Representatives and California and the other states that intervened to defend the law, demonstrate that there simply is no credible legal basis for the argument by Texas and the Trump administration that zeroing out the individual mandate penalty somehow invalidated the entire ACA. Long-settled Supreme Court precedent establishes that congressional intent is the governing standard. and Congress's action to eliminate only the mandate penalty and leave the whole rest of the law in place makes crystal clear that Congress intended no change whatever in the rest of the ACA. So the very text of the law shows the bankruptcy of the arguments on the other side. But as the Senate Democrats' brief filed today demonstrates in detail, the legislative history does too. When the zeroing out of the mandate penalty was considered in the Senate, senator after senator from both parties made clear their view that there would be no effect on any other provision of the ACA. And later, after Texas's legal theory was floated, every senator who spoke made clear that Texas was wrong and that there was no intent to affect the ACA. These briefs talk about the legal issue, of course, but they also make clear the huge stakes of the case, as has already been explained. And I think it's important to note that everyone with a role in the healthcare system is filing a brief today in support of the ACA. Just to go through them quickly, numerous patient representatives, starting with 20 organizations representing the millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions, AARP and other organizations that represent older Americans, women's health advocates, other groups representing children, the disability community, and health consumers generally. Then healthcare providers, again, all of the providers you could think of, doctors led by the American Medical Association and other doctors' organizations, the associations representing all of America's hospitals, the Association of Community Health Centers, and nurses. Then all the major insurance organizations, 10 more states in addition to the 20 states plus the District of Columbia that originally intervened. And those new briefs include a filing by two Republican attorneys general agreeing that the ACA remains intact and rejecting the argument by Texas and the Trump administration. And then a number of cities and counties explaining the draconian impact on them if the ACA were to be invalidated. Finally, there are several groups of scholars that I want to highlight that are filing briefs today as well. Economists explaining in detail the draconian impact on families, providers, and the whole economy of eliminating the ACA. Public health scholars explaining in detail how the ACA has dramatically enhanced our ability to fight the COVID-19 virus and how much worse off we'll be if the ACA is terminated. And legal scholars, including two who led the two prior Supreme Court battles against the ACA, who recognized that the claim by Texas and the Trump administration is inconsistent with about a century of Supreme Court precedent, and so are filing a brief today saying that the Supreme Court should reject that argument and leave the ACA intact. The reason for this huge wage of support is obvious, as you've heard. Everyone recognizes the catastrophic consequences that would result from invalidating the ACA, and especially from doing so while the nation is fighting a pandemic.
Thanks, Andy. It's tough even just to listen to these descriptions of what would happen and the callousness of those who were pressing this forward. But with that, let's turn it to questions. Caleb, could you tee up our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Leslie. For those who would like to ask questions of any of our speakers, you can go ahead and press *3 on your keypad to be entered into our Q&A queue, and then we will take you live to ask questions. Again, if you want to hit *3, you will be entered into our Q&A queue in order to ask questions. Leslie, it looks like we do not have any questions in our Q&A queue. So if you want to offer up any closing remarks or final thoughts, you are free to do that.
Nope, I'm fine. Thank you, everybody.
Yep, thank you, everybody.
Yep. Take care.
Bye-bye.